I think we should have a joke time or something in between, you know, songs, something.
Good morning. Okay, I am, supposed to do the announcements. And we are officially have entered the season of Lent, and that's a special time of year when we reflect, pray, and eat soup. We have soup for the next week. It starts at 5 o'clock, and followed by worship service at 6:15. Right now we have volunteers to serve soup this week and next week. After that, you guys are going to go hungry unless somebody steps up to the plate and volunteers to bring soup. And of course, you know, we have to have dessert too, so there's that. There's a Christian movie that I can only imagine too is being played in Milford, Okoboji, and Spencer. The reviews are really super good. Please, if you have an opportunity, go yourself, take a kid, take family, friends, whatever, and go see that. The only way that these movies are going to be produced is if we as Christians and non-Christians bring them up and support them. And Angela has an announcement.
Okay, here. Come on with me.
I'm connected.
You're connected, okay.
Together.
Okay, I wanted to give you a quick update on our pastor search. Probably about 5 weeks ago, we refreshed or updated our job description for the pastor. And I put a little link in there for like about the area. So we put that and refreshed that on the LCMC website. And then I sent an email to all the pastors that are available for call. So instead of just go ahead and putting, pastoral, vacancy in the subject line. So in the subject line, I put, is God nudging you to take this call? And then I did get an email from a gentleman, and he's very interested in doing, he's talking to us about becoming an interim pastor. So I spoke with the church council last week, and they said, yes, let's talk to him. So this past week, I had Terry and Steve talk to him, and they were very, very impressed with him. I can't say too much, but I can tell you a little bit about this. He has helped a lot of churches transition from one pastor to the next. He's done this in Iowa, so it's not just somebody that has done this throughout. He's done this throughout the country, too. The other thing is he helps us find a new pastor. The call committee, just to kind of give you an idea, the call committee would still be active in trying to find our pastor. An interim pastor, just to give you an idea, is a pastor that would be here anywhere from like nine months to maybe 2 years whenever we decide or we find a pastor. Today after church, the call committee is going to meet. So we're going to kind of discuss all this. We could take this to the church council next Tuesday. We have our church council meeting next Tuesday. So I just wanted to give you kind of a quick update and say thank you to Jack, Terry, Steve, Christy, and Lenanne for being part of this whole process. I really feel the feedback that I've gotten from Steve and Terry, it was very, very good. So I really feel that we're going in the right direction. A special thanks to the prayer team for praying over us. This isn't about us. It's about him and who he wants in this position. So I just say, stay tuned.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Pass the peas, please.
Pass the peas.
Okay, if you can find your seat again, please, we'll do the responsive reading. The poor will eat and be satisfied. The Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy.
The Lord will acknowledge the Lord and return to him.
For royal power belongs to the Lord. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship.
Bow before him, all who are
Our children will also serve him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. Please pray with me. God Almighty, you formed each of us from the smallest beginnings and breathed life into us. Every breath we take comes from you, and we are completely dependent on you for our very existence. Though we often fall short and fail to give you the glory you deserve, you still choose to use us to draw others into your kingdom. What an incredible truth. Thank you for the many people in this congregation whom you are using to minister in diverse and meaningful ways. It is a privilege to share today the stories of how your glory is being revealed in Tanzania. As we speak, open the hearts and minds of those who listen, so they might hear your will for their life. Remind us that your Holy Spirit is able to do far more than we can imagine. We simply need to be available and willing. As Lynn and I share, may it be clear that we are only vessels. All praise, honor, and glory belong to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture for today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. And this is from the New Living Translation, so it won't be the same as in the Pew Bibles. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too, wonderful for words.
Okay, so I'm sure that most of you are familiar with Next Life Foundation. It's in Tanzania. Patty and Lawrence there started it 13 years ago, and this year it was our 10th anniversary of the schooling, and it was an amazing, amazing celebration. Are the students that graduated and the new students. They're bringing in banners. All praise to God for the generosity of everybody here and everybody that has contributed prayers and money and given us words of encouragement. Words can't explain and express their gratitude for us and for your prayers and for your financial support for Next Life Foundation. The next slide is, that's the entrance to the new property, which isn't so new anymore, but this is the first time I had seen it. The walls, and if you look, there's like five kids, little kids, peering over the fence. We had music going as we entered, and they were just wondering what was going on. These are probably our future students. It's a blessing to have them around because they're a witness as well. And after the big celebration, they came in and ate with us. And our Obeidi was ministering to them as they were sitting on the ground eating. And Patty will tell you about Obeidi.
So this is Obed. They call him Obeidi. He was a student of ours. He graduated in 2021. And he is now our assistant tailoring teacher. We have sent him off to more schooling so that eventually he will be our main tailoring teacher, because our current one is getting older. At one point, he mentioned to me that he would like to be a pastor. Sometimes I say we are an evangelism discipleship center that just looks like a vocational training center, but we are, give you a little background if you haven't heard of us. We are a Christian vocational training center in a Muslim community called Baguni in East Africa, Tanzania. So he had mentioned to me that he would like to be a pastor, so I'm through a translation. I don't understand Swahili about this much. And so I mentioned that to someone else and said, you need to talk to him, because before we send him off to more schooling, we need to find out, does he really want to be a pastor? Because that's a great calling if he does. But no, he definitely wants to be a tailoring teacher. But he has become like our spiritual leader at Next Life Foundation. So I'll tell you more later, but we have devotions in the morning and the evening before they leave, before the students, when they first get there. And then we also, on Fridays, a local pastor comes and has a worship service for them. And if the pastor doesn't show up, Obed leads that service. So it's pretty cool to see the former students become the teachers. And that's the case here with Dominique. He is our carpentry teacher, and he's a 2019 carpentry graduate. He's been our carpentry teacher for almost 2 years now, doing a fabulous job. He is a committed Christian also. And when I first, after he became our teacher and I was first over there, I asked Mary, our director, how he was doing, and she says, oh, I can't tell you yet. It takes at least 6 months before I can tell you if he's doing a good job. And now they all definitely say he's doing a great job. He's also the co-owner of Next Life Furniture Center, right in city center of the village center of Baguni. And so after he gets done teaching, he goes to work at the furniture center. So we'll tell you more about that too a little later. There's so much to tell you, but we can't hit it all. We do have some of the latest newsletters that came out last week on the table under the steps back there. At our 10-year anniversary, that was quite the celebration. Sophia, she's on the far right next to me. She had a shop. She graduated 2 years ago. She had a rented a space in Baguni and had a tailoring shop. And Lynn wanted to visit a tailoring shop of one of our students when we were over there a few weeks ago. And there was no one to find. We were so worried about saturating the market with all our tailors, because we've got well over 100 graduates out there now. And there was no one to find, because we found out Sophia's church has sent her off to Bible school so she can become a pastor. And over there, the pastor has to support themselves. They can't, the church, because it's such a poor country, the church can't support the pastor. So she will support herself with her tailoring skills and then pastor a church. So that is so exciting. And then next to her are two other tailoring graduates, and they each have their business under a tree in their home. And then they brought their friend and her little boy. She was not one of our students, but that was exciting. So Sophie is no longer in Baguni. And then we'll talk about Enoch later. And then Rakia, who has a shop in Baguni, her landlord, impressively, is remodeling her shop. So it's not open right now. So there was no tailoring shop for Lynn to get to see.
But that's okay, because there was plenty to do. This is, this is what we should be doing, praising God.
See, you stood up. Come on, Steve. This is the Maasai tribe. This is how they dress. And a couple of the students in the blue shirts got up and started dancing with them, and the women shake their shoulders, and the men jump. So if you guys want to stand up and get in the aisles and jump, you're more than welcome. Just don't hurt yourself. It takes a while for the ambulance to get here, so we don't want to do that. But the women, they shake their shoulders. Lynn and I did go out and dance with them, and boy, that got the crowd whooping and hollering.
Yeah, they were laughing.
Thank goodness it was the end of their dance. It was, what, 3-5 seconds?
Yes. And then the next, this is during graduation. This is a young lady and her mom, Cecilia and her mom. They are so appreciative for the opportunity to learn tailoring and praise God. It warmed my heart, and it obviously made me cry because I'm a crier. And it's in the amount of witnessing that this does to that whole community, not just the students, not just the families, but the whole Baguni area is very impressive. And you all do that. I mean, you all send us there. You all do that. You're part of that. Then the new students, we have, this is Luca. Oh, wait. These are the shirts, and then it is Psalms 22:26. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. The new students get t-shirts with this on it, so they are reminded that it is a Christian school and God is with them and supporting them. This is Luca. We do intake interviews with the new students. Most of them have never seen a white face, and it's very difficult for them to be, what's the word?
They have a hard time looking you in the eye. Their children are seen and not heard, so even to talk loud enough to hear them is tough. So that's skills they have to learn while they're at our school.
And Luca, this was Luca on the left-hand side. And very shy, very quiet. After that first day, Lawrence, we had a get-to-know session. We sang, we danced, we played frisbee, we played soccer. And then Patty caught Luca smiling before we left. And we had not seen him smile the whole entire time we were there. But he did get to know the other kids, and he got to know us, and he felt more comfortable. And so hopefully he will be strong. The next slide is Lawrence. This is their singing and dancing.
This song is welcoming you to Tanzania. So if anybody wants to go, you're more than welcome. Carolyn and I have our tickets booked for May. We can add more.
Indeed. But these are the new students, and so they're already interacting with each other well, which is amazing. Kids are kids. They're resilient. Then, as we did our intake interviews, this is a map of Tanzania. The farthest away is in Dar es Salaam, which is 400 miles away. There's also two students from Singida, which is 230 miles away, and Karangari, which is 18 miles away. Most of the students, obviously, that live that far away or from that area are living with family and relatives that live closer to Baguni. Therefore, we are looking at doing a dormitory because it's amazing to me that somebody from Dar es Salaam, 400 miles away, heard about our training school, our Christian training school. It's amazing. God opens doors.
We've never had students from that far away. We've had students that just graduated. She said she ran 2 hours and walked 2 hours every morning. Now one runs 2 hours, but never that far away. So that's really cool. So this is Aliyah on the left. He's one of our new students. And you know, we know that not all of our students are going to be successful. That's just a given anywhere. He knew about Next Life because of his brother Samuel was in our school. And I had to look back. I remember Samuel. He's on the right. And he never graduated. And so you never hear, so many students, you never hear about him. But apparently Samuel is now a handyman at a resort in Zanzibar. There's no way you can be a kid in Buguni, Tanzania, which is a tiny, nothing town, and become a handyman in Zanzibar, where there's white sand beach, turquoise water, and there's just no way. So this is a huge success story, that he got enough training at our school without even graduating to have the confidence to go to Zanzibar. That was just thrilling. This is Esther on the left. She started school in 2022 with her brother Enoch, who's in the middle. She quit school, though. Enoch graduated 2 years ago. He's a very successful tailor. He has a shop with lots of other trinkets in it besides tailoring. His shop is outside of Buguni in another small village. He was at a funeral, so Lynn never got to visit his shop, but he did come to the 10-year anniversary. When Enoch was in school, both of his parents were terrible alcoholics, so he would go to the market on Saturday and sell little canvas bags, because you can't have, it's illegal to have plastic bags in Tanzania. So he would sell these canvas bags in the market to support his family while he came to school. So I would imagine Esther had to quit school, because she said over the last few years she's been working at a farm planting seeds and weeding. But now their father, Wilson, is our guard, one of our security guards. So he's got his life back together, and he's a guard. And I suppose they're supporting the family between Enoch and his father, Wilson. And now Esther is able to come. She started the tailoring program again. So praise the Lord. It's just amazing how this comes around. And during graduation, a couple of the students had this long thing they read to us that I translated from Swahili to English on my computer. And they were thankful for Wilson for keeping the campus so clean. So that was pretty cool. This is a picture of Evening Glory. Morning Glory and Evening Glory happens every day at Next Life Foundation. It's devotions. So they come in the morning and they praise God with singing and prayer for a safe trip there, because life is very different than in America. Pretty much every day in a village, someone was killed on the road, being hit by a motorcycle. There's just so many dangers. And then in the evening, they pray and sing praises again to Jesus for a safe trip home, for safety for their family. And then on Fridays, Pastor Elia comes on his motorcycle, and they call it devotions. We would call it worship, because it's a whole hour. Their worship services are 3 to 4 hours, so settle in. But Zahara is the one in the red, and this particular time, she was Islam. Before she came to our school, she was contemplating suicide because she was so hopeless. And she ended up, when she was at our school, she got baptized. Here she's leading the Evening Glory. It's just awesome. And they, 8 of our new students, while we were there, some came after we left that we didn't get a chance to interview, but 8 of those students are Muslim, so we need to pray that they find Jesus. But that is extremely dangerous. Our leadership over there has had to have the police intervene with some families that were very, very harsh with our student that converted to Christianity. Mary, our director, has taken in a student that lived with her for 3 months because they feared for her life because she converted to Christianity. But you know, even if something happens, they've been saved. They have eternity with Jesus. So that's one way to look at it. This is Hawa on the left. She graduated 2 years ago, and her sister, Rahima, She just graduated this year, and they are from a Muslim background. And Rahema, at graduation, led the group of graduates in one of the songs into the middle of the group, shout singing, "Jesus is Lord." That was probably one of my highlights of the whole graduation ceremony. Family dynamics are really tough over there. Flora is in both of these pictures. You can just tell by her body posture on the left that something isn't right with her and her dad. But when they come to our campus, it's good. They've never been in a school that's so loving, that the teachers care, and that they have someone to talk to, and Mary or their teachers. And then on the right, it's a woman with her. I don't know if it was her mom or an aunt or a grandma, but her posture is totally different. So family dynamics are tough. This is Junior, who graduated, and when Carol and I were there, we went and prayed over his grandma, and she passed away a few weeks later, and that's who his guardian was. And so Mary says he lives with his uncle, and uncle means a lot of different things over there. But this is a village leader that stepped in and was with him for graduation. And it's really cool to see that a number of village leaders stood with the kids, because the village is very happy with what we're doing over there. They're very supportive. So thank you to all of you for making this all happen. And this is because of all the wonderful donors. Every tailoring student got a sewing machine. So this, we have to have a ceremony, because if you haven't eaten for 2 weeks and you see a sewing machine sitting in your house, would you be thinking that maybe you should sell it so that you could eat? So we have to have a ceremony to explain that this machine belongs to this young person. You cannot sell this sewing machine. It's against the law. So we have a ceremony, and each student gets a machine, and then a motorcycle carries it away for them. It's kind of a cool thing. But Omari is on the left. He was the number one student in tailoring, and his dad is with him. You can tell with the little hat on his head, they are Muslim. And the huge smile on his dad's face, he was so proud. But you know, the Muslims don't have any idea about the Holy Spirit. They don't know who he is. They don't know the power of the Holy Spirit. So they are so happy to send their students to the vocational training center so that they will have a skill to support the family. Because these 16, 20-year-olds, when they're done and they have a skill, they will support their parents, their grandparents, their cousins, their aunts and uncles. They will support them all. So, you know, whether they're Christian or Muslim, especially the Muslims, they don't know the power that this place has from the Christian aspect. So thank you for all the donations that you've given to Next Life Foundation. It's impacting in an amazing way. We won't know, because this is going to go on for generations and widespread, especially now. They're coming from 400 miles away. That just blows my mind. Crazy. God is so good.
And then we had time this year to do exit interviews, which is different than what we've done before. But it's really interesting to ask the students what, you know, how their 2 years there were, what we can do differently, what we can do better. They are so appreciative. And I think that is, Alan is in the forefront of the picture on the left. He's a carpenter student, and he said that if it were not for Next Life Foundation, he would be on the streets doing drugs or drinking or whatever and not having an opportunity to support a family. And I thought back to our streets in the U.S. I mean, it's the same thing. So we can be praying for our people as well. And then we ask about their faith life. How has Next Life Foundation changed or helped or your faith light? And they all said that because of the morning glory and the evening glory and the services on Friday, they are closer to God and to Jesus. And then they said also, because of our staff and our teachers, the way they show love and compassion to the students that are there. And that says it all. I mean, our staff and teachers are A number one, I think. They're very, very good. Then one other thing that we do, that we have done for several years, is feed them lunch. They have tea in the morning and then they have lunch. The students on the outside, that's what they look like 2 years ago when they came to Next Life Foundation. And those same four girls are in the middle. When we interviewed the new students, and they hug you every morning when you get there, they're skin and bones. I mean, they are just skin and bones. So it's amazing to see what one good meal a day can do for them. And again, they're very appreciative of that. The Foundies, I think Patty mentioned is this the picture of their store?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The local, it's in Baguni, and four or five of them started it, and they go in and out, and they are very willing to have students come in. The current students, the graduates, come in and learn even more. They have power tools, so they can learn to use those. And they also said that they would be willing, we've got four graduates that would like to go to a different village and start their store. And these past students have agreed to go help them in their ventures at a new store. And we're a family, and it's a family that a lot of these kids have never felt that closeness in their own families. Most of them have, the ones that we interviewed, most of them have anywhere from 4 to 11 siblings. And without the parents working, it's very tough for them to survive. So that's why it's so important to give them education.
We do have a sponsorship program. I noticed that about a third of our students that start, they drop out of school, and very unlikely that a student that is sponsored drops out. So I just wanted to show you an example of one of the letters one of the students sent to their sponsor. This young man, I have no doubt, he would be dead if he wasn't at Next Life. He was living with his alcoholic grandma, passed out a number of times from hunger when he'd come on Mondays. Then he wasn't at school when I was there once, and I'm like, where's Pray God? His brother got hit by a motorcycle and killed the older brother that was kind of in and out of his life. And then another time he had an umbilical hernia, and Mary was sure he was going to die. She didn't ever want to take a student to the hospital again. And so she got into another grandma that lived quite a distance away to recover. And then he disappeared again. He's just really tough. And then a pastor from a nearby village has taken him in and kind of adopted him the last few months of school. And that pastor was with him at graduation. It was kind of cool to get to meet him. So it's $60 a month and prayer. That's your commitment, to pray for your student, and $60 a month. And it makes a huge impact. The students write letters 4 times a year. And also, people can write back to their students if they want. And then often they get letters more frequently sometimes if you do write to your student. But yeah. It's an amazing thing. Why God chose me to be part of this, I don't know. But you know, if God taps you on the shoulder to do something, say yes, because no guarantees it's going to be easy. But what a thrill that he's willing to use us, who are so failed, so flawed, and make a difference, whether it's just a small thing or something big, it's amazing that he is willing to use us in these endeavors he has going on in the world. We hear a lot of bad news, but there's a lot of good news in the world also.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to read the scripture again one more time. When I went to Tanzania the second time, I did a deep dive into this verse, and it taught me that people need to send, and you need to allow them to send. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase our resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in us. Yes, Harbor of Joy will be enriched in every way so that we can always be generous. And when we take our gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Tanzania will be met, and then they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of Harbor of Joy's ministry, Next Life Foundation students in Tanzania will give glory to God for our generosity to them, and to all believers will prove that Harbor of Joy is obedient to the good news of Christ. And Tanzania will pray for us with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to us. Thank God for the gifts, too wonderful for words.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Take Okay, the benediction is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. The one who calls you in is faithful, and he will do it. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.